This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can't have Dallas Week without having some of the gladiators that participated in this clash and made it what it is. One of the craziest dudes to ever play and wear burgundy and gold, and one of the best ever at his task, and that is Mike Nelms. So we bring on Brother Nelms, and a man that Essek, you and Nelms, you have a lot in common because you're world-class pranksters, and Nelms is the best I've ever played with, ever been in a locker room around. Dallas Week, Nelmsy, for you, I know you hated everybody we played. That's why I love you. But the Texas part in you, was it a little more, was it more against Dallas?
Yeah, most definitely. First of all, thanks for having me on, Doc. Appreciate you. You do a great job. Yeah, man, coming from Fort Worth, I thought, negotiating with Dallas would be cool. But it actually turned out to be just the opposite. And it worked out well. And for me to come to Washington and play against Dallas, that was great. I needed to win two games a year. That was Dallas.
And Matt, this is, he wasn't the only guy. Don't forget, in that locker room, the prize bull who will be with us later today, Daryl Green, Texans. Just thinking about the Texans, World Grant, who will be with us. So, and Mark Mosley, MVP. A lot of Texas brands, and I think it's important for our base. Your thoughts, Nelmsy, when you look at this year's team, it reminds me a lot of our 81 outfit in that they got a lot of fight in them. I don't know if man for man, we were undermanned in 81, but you could tell that the fight was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. The organization was structured a lot like it is now, too. I mean, you had people who knew what they were doing and knew how to choose and pick people based on abilities and the attitudes and all that stuff. You're right. Yeah, we were a lot like this. We were a lot like these guys are now. And I do expect them to really do more and better than what they're doing right now. My wife thought that they would be this good early.
Really? Why?
Pick of the year. What's that?
What was her vibe? What did she – something had to make her say, make that statement.
Man, listen, my wife knows how to pick them. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. But she picked them, and I was shocked. But I was expecting this next year. But a lot of that has to do with quarterback. I mean, but again, when he throws the ball to somebody, they have to catch it, and they have to run, and the guys have to block. So I mean, it's always a team effort for me. But she just did a good job of picking them. She's really good at that.
I'm really glad that we get B. Mitch. And then we get you, because so few people in our listening audience have ever caught a punt. And everybody thinks it looks easy. And then you get a left-footed punter. And again, so few people have done it. And especially after a few cocktails where everybody thinks they're better than they ever were. So could you explain, because you and Brian, two of the best to ever do it, but for our market, just how difficult it is to field punts when you haven't really done it a lot and it's a right or left footed punter?
There's so much stuff you have to take into account. The ball's rotating a different way from a left footed punter than a right footed punter. It makes a difference. The wind makes a difference. How he actually kicks the ball makes a difference in that wind. Elements. It's a whole bunch of things, you know, the things you have to be concerned with. How do these guys come down real hard, or do they come down, you know, soft and kind of build a little wall around you? It's a lot of things involved. And I find that what most punt returners do or don't do is they don't catch enough punts so that they really, really, really get comfortable catching the ball so that it's never an issue. And then now you can concentrate on how are these guys trying to tackle me? How are they trying to, you know, pin me in? What are they trying to do to me? He's so worried about catching the daggum ball and catching it off balance and catching it with the wrong foot in front. And it's a lot more to it than it looks. And it would take about a six-pack to make somebody.
Teach.
Yeah.
Teach. Yeah. No, look, nothing on a pro level is easy, but I think when you and Brian discuss it, you would never fair catch. Brian had that unbelievable weapon, his helmet, and he should have been banned from the league for he had an illegal weapon. He had something that should have been banned, and yet he got away with it when he dropped that on people. He should be sued for some of the things he did to people, but the spirit of special teams, you were our best player on the team in 81. And I'm telling you, honestly, I'm looking at Essek right now saying, this brother here, we knew he couldn't fail. That strength led up. We had a lot of young people, had people from other teams, a lot like this team. That's why I love these guys, because I see the fight in them. But this is a big game, Mike. Really big, and Dallas is kind of down, but you know, that's a wounded animal, it's a dangerous animal, and I'm not going to be comfortable with this until I see the gun go off and we're up by 30.
Doc, you literally made chill bumps go down my back when you said that, because you hit the nail on the head. Man, I hate Dallas, and then to have a wounded animal, you got to cut his head off. Cut his head off, stomp it, kick it, put it underwater, chain it up, handcuff it. Yeah, you got to they don't give Dallas an opportunity to breathe.
You notice how violent he was?
Yeah.
That was natural for him.
Mike, I got a question. With the Dallas-DC rivalry having kind of been dead in the water for the past couple of years, because it all comes down to on-the-field performance, and honestly, we haven't been competitive since the Thursday Thanksgiving game with RG3, at least in my opinion. What advice, if you were to talk with the team right now, going into this game with where this team is, where Dallas is, what would you say to the team to try and get the rivalry stoked again?
Man, to be honest with you, I don't know. I've never been a rah-rah kind of guy. I just sit over in my corner quiet. I don't like people talking to me hours before the game. I just kind of go away, and I do me. And then when I get out on the field, I'm trying to shoot everything that moves. Doc probably can tell you better how to motivate people. Man, Doc came in and Doc, I remember when you first came in, I said, hey, how you doing? My name's Rick Walker. Call me Doc. And you're just very gregarious. And you see all that stuff. You know how to talk to people. You know how to share thoughts and philosophies. Me, I just give me a sledgehammer. Let me sit over in the corner. And at game time, I'm swinging that bad boy.
He's extremely violent. He really is. I mean, you just hear it in his voice right now. I'm sure there's some trained psychologists right now that are listening right now, and they're going to want to call you. If they call the station, then I'll give them your business line so they can contact you, because you need some help. But you've been this way since 1981, so yeah. I don't even know if there's a cure for what you have. But isn't it exciting to see that we're not in last place, and you can feel the energy in this town now for Burgundy and Gold football?
I wasn't expecting it. I was looking for this to happen next year. And then boom, 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 here we are. And it's really nice. And my kids don't know this feeling.
That's right. They've never seen success.
And so, they're all kind of giddy and laughing and go, oh, this is what it's like. Yeah, this is what it's like. And try to throw a Super Bowl or two in there. See what that's like.
Man. Well, this is the beginning of it. I won't rest until we are tapping our glasses at a Super Bowl or at a parade following a Super Bowl, because until then, you can't quit, because we know what the finish line looks like, and we got to get there, and we got to help them get there, because then and only then will I consider the war work done. Hey, how you hitting it, man? I heard you out there striking that ball real well.
Oh, man. Golf is not friendly. I mean, you can play great today, and tomorrow it's like you never held a club before. I'm doing okay. I just want to make sure I beat my son-in-law and I beat my son, and I'm good.
Well, good luck with that. Nelms, are you the best, man? My best to the family, and let's beat Dallas. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Doc, and hey, ma'am, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. One of the funniest things Nelms ever did, he would put analgesic balm in guys' athletic supporters. He'd put petroleum jelly in the pockets of people's Levi's. He would put, I'm telling you, this dude is the best prankster ever. Guys in the shower, shampooing their hair. Ice right on your back. Yeah, he was just an awful person, but a fantastic teammate.
You making all that stuff up, man.
Yeah, you know I didn't. And I didn't even tell the worst part yet, because George Stark might be listening. And to this day, we can't tell him who actually did it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
High noon, take on St. Francis. Dave Sims, the new voice of the Bronx Bombers, in town for that call. I'm proud of my friend. He's earned that right, man. A New Yorker. Imagine that, Max. Being a Jersey kid, living in New York, and you are now the voice of the Bronx Bombers. Proud of him, man. That's awesome. And Hoyer's hoping to keep it going. College football, man, a couple hours away from kickoff. Terps and Shell. Senior game. Senior day, man. It's a rough one, Max. Tough one, boy. Your last one at the collegiate level, as much as you try to get out of college, you're too dumb to realize you should want to stay in there forever, but you're trying to rush out. You just don't realize it. You're too dumb to understand that you're trying to rush away from something that you will never, ever be able to duplicate.
It's true.
It's unbelievable. But you know, it's just how we're designed, man. We're designed not to necessarily take the time to listen to our elders. If people are trying to tell you, relax, enjoy this. It, you know, where will you be somewhere where for some people in there it's rent free or marginally, you know, opposed to what you'll have to end up paying down the road, you know, and fun and isolated time, you know, study halls or libraries or recs and just all those things that you're into it and you don't realize how lucky you are at the time. But it's the way it goes. But the parents who go through it, man, and I've done it and done it, you know, at the Shell, and can have great memories of it, of two of the guys that went through it, and great experience. It's the game you want to win, man. You want to win that one. You want to be bowl eligible, and so much matters. And this new playoff deal, I mean, usually we're ripping the NCAA apart for whatever. What's not to like about this setup?
There's not a lot to not like. It's there's a lot of debate right now. I think
what is it not? What is it not?
That's true. I think it's a lot of this debate is driven by the SEC in particular and Greg Sankey and his calls to the media. But it's going to be a good one today. Ole Miss Florida is a game to sneaky watch for.
Thank
I
you.
Feel like.
Thank you.
A lot of implications. I think Florida could do it. But we'll see. We'll see. We got an hour 45 till kickoff, so I'm looking forward to it.
Lot going on, man. This is and we're lucky. And I have to go back and mention the snow game because of my age. That's not that unusual for me. But seeing the Steelers and seeing the Browns in snow in real football,
just perfect.
And of course, seeing my beer drinking brothers shirtless. I know it's not the brightest thing to do, and as an adult, we probably shouldn't welcome it, but how could you not love that?
It's peak AFC North football, man. It's the best. There ain't nothing like it.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's the part about it that we can enjoy that kind of spirit with no violence.
It's true. We can do that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, think about it. As big a jerks as we can all be as a society, isn't it cool when we can have differences but agree that once it's over, it was a good ride. Our team didn't win that particular week, but it's okay. We still go as brothers and sisters, and we charge it up for next week.
Yeah.
I will never, ever get tired of seeing my beer barrel brothers doing that. Now, is that the healthiest thing for them? No, but it's not like they're doing it 7 days a week.
It's true. This is true. It's a once in a very special moment.
It's the best of the best, and we don't get to see that much of it anymore.
It's true.
You know, we just don't.
In the
and there was a poll that was put out about would you want to see a Super Bowl like that? Can you imagine the stakes being as high as ever? And I called Big Tony, you know, before the game. After all, I did pick the Steelers for that one and lost, obviously. And Big Tony warned me, "Don't do it. This is the game he knew it. Mm-hmm. He knows his team. He said we blow this every. And I don't think you blew it. How about the Browns? As bad as our situations have been, and boy, we've had some bad ones. But how about this, man? Where you're strapped into a horrible contract with a guy that I think is suffering from mental illness, but we don't necessarily address it that way, and that's okay. Everybody has the right to do it the way you want to do it. I choose to address it as mental illness. And so instead of putting this dude, forcing him to be in somewhere where he can get help, but in the meantime, why are you strangling the organization? Look what Denver did. They paid to get out and moved on. And where are they now? Much better off.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell, who was going through, he was tripping.
Yeah, he was.
He was straight out tripping. I don't know who the hell he thought he was. That's why I love the Denver procedure on it. It's just money. They got plenty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of a cancer, potential cancer, and send him out to a grown-ass man in Tomlin who can manage him. You got so many noodles as coaches in these leagues, and they're anything but coaches. They're soft as jelly donuts. And then when they get exposed, they start whining, and they take the big checks, and they kick them out of town. But look what a man could do. What is Russell Wilson now? Shaved, groomed, on time, early, heard nothing, playing his best ball. I wonder why. Because a jackass was given a job, and without that young man in New York who's still hiding him and controlling him, this man was allowed to be in charge of people's careers. How many of them did he ruin? How many did Hackett ruin? And how does that happen over and over again? Where these lizards get in these programs and nobody really raises no hell about it because everybody makes so much money, nobody cares. And if the fans get ripped off and you spend all your money on tickets and gear, so what? Next. And they just repeat it and go get another group of suckers and move on. You think Winston, can he play or not play? Same thing with Flacco. How does this continue to happen over and over and over again? Because people are unqualified in positions. They're just friends and family. And they get put into these lucrative positions and they are clueless in terms of how to do their jobs. How frustrating is it to have people that you know don't know a damn thing about doing their job and they're in charge or over you? Hello? Yeah. Welcome to prime time. So when you get a good run going, embrace it. Because you're one of the lucky ones. Because most people are held hostage by numbskulls in all walks of life. So when you get a chance to get a good groove going, you got to recognize it and embrace it. And right now, Max, from my vantage point, we got the ingredients. It's all right there at this point. Now we got to figure out how hungry are we? Or are we just a promotional machine? Is this all talk? We had a little feel-good moment. We've won as many games as I guess we thought we were worthy of. Or are we going to go down and go take what is rightfully? How long do we have to wait? So that's why I said 50. I didn't say, I'm not trying to promote anything. This offense has that kind of potential. But we can't go a whole half without getting the ball to our best damn receiver. Figure it out. Get it done. It's too much talent to be flaunting around. I'm saying let's go for this thing and go after these people and get them out of here. Rip them apart and get them out of here, and let's get back on a roll where we can string some victories together. How's that sound to you, Max?
I think that sounds like a winning plan.
All right, when we go to break on that one then, before we F it up?
Sounds good to me.
All right, good deal.
And now the MVP. The MVP, all those memorable trips to RFK, you and Buttsy. So many memories for you, Mark. I don't know where to start, but I know it was always special for all the Texans playing Dallas. Why don't you describe that to our audience?
Well, my first experience with the Redskins and the Dallas game was Thanksgiving 1974. I'm trying to remember, was it Danny White? I forget who the quarterback was. I think it was Danny White that threw a last-second touchdown over Kenny Stone to beat us in Dallas on Thanksgiving. And I just remember that was my first experience of being a Redskin and playing Dallas and getting to experience all the craziness that goes on around, or did go on around D.C. It's kind of died down over the years. But George Allen was so good at building up that that experience of playing Dallas. I mean, he made it like it was the end of the world if we didn't win. And we actually kind of felt that way. And then later on, you remember we had in 82, I think it was, when everybody dressed up like military.
Oh, man, that was my favorite photos are those fifth pitchers. And I went to, you know, Tony Hill, and when you start thinking about Thrill, Tony Dorsett, Springs, those are all good dudes, man. Played against them. The Buckeyes, we had our inner challenges, but, I mean, love those dudes, man. And so we would later find out, you know, everybody exaggerates. There was actually, to be honest, there was 26 of us that had gone to the Army surplus stores and had all the fatigues and stuff that actually suited up that day. When we got to the airport, I remember going to Thrill's house and the Springs, and Landry had called them in. And by the time the word got to Dallas, it was the entire team. Imagine if Landry called a meeting and told you that the entire Redskins team was in military gear. And that's the word that come from the airport. So everybody in Dallas said, you better get into the facility. So Landry, all the Cowboys come in the facility, and Landry says, these dudes have on military gear. This is no joke. And that was the word. It was 26 guys that did that, and then it went on from there. And then when you know who shattered every one of those mirrors in the Dallas locker room, how do you not go back into that? So there was so many different things, or the reef that hung up there. And you went through all this with
the reef.
Yeah, you had that origins of the really when the rivalry was thick.
Oh gosh, yeah. That reef was thrown after Dallas beat us down there in Dallas that year. One year, I forget which year it was. I think it was Too Tall Jones came to our locker room because somebody had sent a wreath to the Dallas locker room before the game. And they thought it came from one of us, but it was a Cowboys fan that was trying to get them riled up, and it did. They ended
up winning the game. I thought it was Dyron Talbert. That was a rumor.
Yeah. Well, and anyway, it came. No, it was one of their fans that sent it, because the word got out later on, because what happened was, he came into our locker room after the game. The door opened up, and it just so happened that Joe Theismann and my lockers were right there by the door. It came flying in through the door, the wreath did. It bounced off the locker and hit me in the knee and cut my knee. I had a couple of stitches under my kneecap from where it hit off. It was a metal reed. You know, the reed was hung on a metal frame, and it cut my leg. So, I mean, there's been some crazy things that went on for Dallas.
Essek, I bet you didn't know that, did you?
Oh.
You better flag that. The Rooster will want to know that. I don't think he knew it either.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know your leg was cut. I heard about it. Dyron Talbert. I mean, you hear all these stories. I mean, that was an intricate one when, I'm not going to mention who busted the window, who broke every mirror in the locker room. Then there's the fun for some. They tried to jump up the fun bunch. All these different things, Reeves and Zom Landry over there yelling, no, Danny, no. But you've witnessed all of these things. And being from Texas, once again, I just wonder how big was it for you, Mo? And how big is this Sunday? Because I feel like I'm not in a joking mood. I am serious about this. It don't mean a hoot about nostalgia. We have got to beat Dallas Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a must game for this team, I think. If nothing else, because of the rivalry needs to be reborn. And at the same time, our division is really close right now. Dallas is struggling somewhat. They're ripe for us to win. And if we can get it started, I think this year will be the starting point, because if we can beat them this week, it should be a good indication that our Redskins or our Commanders are back and that good things are ahead, even if we don't win everything this year. But at least we're getting that the good things, the good memories of the past. We're getting them back, and we've got hope for the future.
MVP, Mark Mosley with us here. And the beauty about Mo, and we had Bosco on, and we talked about our little strip of real estate that we had, and you held that down longer than anybody, but where you have real estate in the locker room, it does matter. And we had a nice little cozy corner there for many years, and your locker attracted the most attention, as always, because for some reason, everybody wants to mess with Mo. And you had the most cosmetics, you had the pumps, you had the gels, you had everything. You were the guy, you were a manly man, but you were far more ahead than the rest of us. And Mo, that's what always separated you. You were a grown-up when we were still wet behind the ears.
Well, I don't know about that, but I had the mirror in my locker that everybody wanted to come over and look at. And my hair was I guess it's always been a subject of controversy in my life, especially when I was playing. I remember Wysocki used to really give me grief about my hair never getting messed up. He said, you know, he used to claim I could wear the helmet the whole game and take it off, and it looked just like it did before the game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always like that. But it was, my locker attracted a lot of attention. I was even, I remember one year they drug me through the mud after practice. I had already gotten dressed, was headed out because I had to drive up to, I think it was Hagerstown.
That's true. True story.
A banquet, yep, and they took me out and drug me through the mud hole, and I had to completely get all redressed and everything. It's crazy. And
a lot. How about the analgesic balm? And Nelms had Nelms on earlier. Number one prankster I ever played with. Who was the number one prankster in all the years you played in the locker room?
I think it was Manny Sistrunk.
Oh, Manny. Yeah, defensive lineman. Yeah, Sistrunk.
Yeah, Manny Sistrunk. And he used to, when everybody were up in the meeting, he would slip into go through the locker room and find out who had lunches, and he would steal the lunches. And guys would come down, and their lunch would be gone. And he was always, he knew that I always brought a lunch. And I usually had a sandwich or something like that. And so one day, my wife decided she was going to get even. She made a sandwich, and she put X-Lax in the sandwich. It was a scrambled egg sandwich with mayonnaise, and he ate that sandwich. And about halfway through our team meeting, Manny, all of a sudden, he started making these noises back in the back, and you could tell everybody turned around to look at his face. Next thing we know, he is sprinting out of the room, trying to get to the restroom. I'll never forget that one.
That's a good one.
Hilarious.
See, this is why. I know some of this is childish, but I'd never heard that one. And that's why you keep digging these because, I knew the ones, the analgesic balm, because Nelms did most of these. They call the phone, and they call your phone, they put the shaving cream in the earphone and deal, and guys would put that right to their ear. That I'd heard. Throwing ice over the urinals, Nelms. When you shower and you wash your hair, ice hits you in the back, Nelms. Yeah. So all these things that went on, the pranks in the locker room, but Mo, it's always a pleasure, man, but this Dallas week is different. I know nobody would put a twist on it like you, and as Mo took more crap, he also bailed the team out more than anyone. And I keep trying to remind people in the DMV, do you know when the MVP is a kicker and is on your team, that means your offense failed more than anyone else's. We failed on third down more than anybody, and Mo came in and bailed us out. Mo bailed us out over and over and over again. Final question for you. You got to be impressed with the kicking situation here now because we've got two guys that don't miss.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been real impressed. I'm really proud, too. They've come through. They've proven that they can make the kicks. And I'm just praying that the coaches will – understand what kicking is all about. It's more mental than it is physical. And these kids right now have a great bit of confidence. If the coaches and the players can keep feeding that confidence, these kids, I think, can do a great job and will really help this team. Because you and I both know, in order to be successful, every good team ends up having a good quarterback, a good defense, and they got to have a good kicking game, a special teams game. If you got those, you've got a good chance to go as far as you can go. And, you know, that's what made us, I think. I mean, we always had a great defense. And I don't know that there were times when our offense struggled, and that's when we had to have the kicks to keep the points coming in. Because I remember in 83, we scored as a team. I think it was 541,
I think, 500, yeah.
500-something points, yep. Which was an NFL record. And I set the NFL record for individual that year with 161 points. But we were driving. Our offense was kicking it, and our defense was really, really stopping them. And we would go down, and if we didn't score a touchdown, we kicked field goals. And I'd have 3, 4, 5 field goals a game. So, I mean, that's a big part of the team. And, I mean, if you look at all the good teams right now, every one of them have a good, solid kicking game.
Can't win without it. Detroit, look at the Lions. Best team, got to have a good kicker. And Mo has always been my hero. My favorite kick was the New York Giant kick in the snow. There will be a Netflix special on that. I guarantee it. Because of the background, it's perfect for television. Yeah, you can't make it up.
It was a big, big game. It was something. Yeah. It was a lot riding on it.
Yeah, you can't make it up. It is so – it's perfect for it. And I'm hoping that it happens. Well, my friend, another Dallas week. I hope we get many, many, many more to go. We got to win this one, though. This is really important to the continuance of the season because we're on a mini roll, and I want to get back on the good foot.
Yeah, and the great thing is this is the first time in a long time that this game has a meaning to it. You know, it really is has a big part. We'll play a big part in our season when it's all said and done.
Mark Mosley, as Coach Thompson would say, you are simply one of the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doc.
Good you got talking it, man.
With you. It's good hearing from you.
Mr. Five Guys, too, makes a mean burger. Have you ever had one?
All right. Five Guys?
Yeah. Okay, Mosley, the man. Thank you, brother.
Shout out to Mo. A lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. And this brother, you're talking about being the MVP of the league. And watching guys now, I still believe he could boot it. Straight on kicker. But let's not forget Brother Bostic, the snapper. World Grant, snapper. Rollo McKenzie, snapper. Joe Theismann, holder. I mean, there's so many people involved in that. That's why I'm impressed with our kicking trio and what these guys have been able to do. And we got the best punter in the league, also world-class holder. Two kickers right now that have been on point. Let's not take it for granted, man. Let's not take it for granted.
We respect specialists on the show big time.
Absolutely. You have to. Because... Yet, it takes everybody to win. That kickoff, you know, I thought we probably would have spent more time on the kickoff, but we really haven't. I think our people have done a great job getting after it. They're violent. I mean, everybody on there is a savage, and it's been really good. And, you know, Eckler, let's go back to what was the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. We get a penalty, or we score on the first one of the year.
Yep.
How good is Eckler?
He's a dog, man. He finds lanes dog. Wherever.
Yeah. 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 Straight out. I mean, Greyhound. I mean, it's just amazing, man. And we have been a couple of self-inflicted wounds, but we've got people that are selfless, and they come after you, man. They come after you. And you just don't want to see it. You don't want to see it end, and you want to see how far it can go. I mean, let's face it, man. How many teams, I mean, Detroit, I mean, how many teams have separated themselves? Think about it.
It really is just kind of Detroit in my mind. Like,
I think the Eagles have separated.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they're in the process of it.
Yeah,
yeah, I really do.
I could see that in the process.
You know,
for sure.
you know why I do? Because when you are physically imposing, look at their offensive line and defensive line. I mean, we show you that wide receiver thing. Stanford still took their stud out. You know, he neutralized him for the most part. But you tell you who you can't neutralize, and they've got them five thugs up front. And that's the difference. O-line, D-line, dominance. So we wrap up one side. We get ready for more action on the other side. Appreciate all that you bring to the table. Let's get after it.